Welcome, everybody, to episode 27 of Simple Christians Podcast. And I've got a treat for you today. I have with me Angie Hall of Transformation Coaching Solutions. She also happens to be a pastor at Pacific Coast Church. Now, Pacific Coast Church hasn't been around too long, but they are really making great strides here in the Pacific Northwest area. Angie Hall, welcome to Simple Christians.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. It's really cool to be here. You know, you and I have had some history of things together back, you know, educationally, and it's been a blast to watch each other launch some of our own endeavors. And here's one that I feel like you're doing a great job at. So I feel honored to be here with you today.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, Angie, before we started, this is kind of a big thing that I want to do with January of 2022 also is renewing your faith. But you said something before recording started that I just loved. You talked about maybe not renewing, but refocusing. I love that word.
Yeah.
I love that word. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that?
You know, yeah, as we were talking about your theme for the year and what that might look like. And I was like, you know, renewed faith, you know, to renew something, you kind of have to have had a handle on what it was to begin with. So that got me thinking and going, okay, so what is our faith? And then, so maybe it's not that we're trying to renew it in the scheme of things, we're refocusing on our faith in the right direction. Let me put it that way. Yeah. That's my thought.
I like that.
Yeah. There's more. I, you know, when I think about myself in the times that I might feel like I've had a waning in faith of some sort, right? It's typically based on some sort of circumstance. You know, something has happened or something that I had hoped would happen hasn't happened. And I think that when things like that and situations like that come up, we feel like our disappointment or whatever's going on may cause us to lose faith or wane in our faith, when in actuality, we've actually applied our faith in a different place in those moments. Because our faith needs to be planted in who God is, right? Yeah. Hebrews 1 tells us about, chapter 11, verse 1 tells us what faith is, right? If faith being, what does it say? It's the assurance of things hoped for and the convictions of things unseen. And so our hope and our convictions and everything is placed on who God is, what Jesus said, what God said, and all of those things. But I think that when we're walking day to day and things happen in our lives or don't happen in our lives, we kind of shift our gaze a bit and we put them somewhere else. So it's not necessarily that we believe that God changed who he is or that Jesus isn't saying what he said. It's just that we put our hope somewhere else for those moments. Yeah.
I like that a lot, especially for all you that are listening and have been listening to Simple Christians. I love this even more. I didn't ask Angie to quote scriptures. And as you know, I quote scriptures all the time. So I think it's awesome that she's doing it. Thank you, Angie,
You're welcome. Yeah. So that to me was vital, you know, to think about. And so I was like, if we're shifting our faith, if we're placing it somewhere else, you know, that is the thing that will cause us to feel like we need to renew it. And there's nothing wrong with that. Renew, refocus, whatever it is that we want to do. But how do we do that? Because that was like my next question, right? Mm-hmm. How do we do that? And so I feel like God hooked us up, okay, and gave us his word, right? And so Hebrews chapter 11, which I read from, if we continue to read in that chapter, there are so many examples. We call that the Hall of Fame of faith, right? So there's tons of examples of people who did that very thing. They placed their eyes on the things that were hoped for and their convictions on the things that were not seen. And so if we wonder how to do it, there's like umpteen examples just in that one chapter of how to do that and that it can be done from various circumstances. And I love that the author used people of all different walks of life. So it wasn't just the who we would think are the superstars of the faith, you know, it's people from all walks of life. And then there's collective examples as well as individual examples. And so I feel like the Lord hooked us up in that regard, in that, okay, who else has done this? But guess what else he did? He told us that we overcome by the power of our testimony. Mm-hmm. Our testimonies could be added to chapter 11 in that we are walking examples of a faith that God had put in, you know, that God put there as soon as we chose it, right? We were walking with him. We could write our own stories in there or in a journal or whatever and come back and read those. And that's a good way to fine tune and refocus and remember what he's done.
I like that. I like that a lot. If I could pick your brain a little bit more on this, though, let's say somebody feels like, especially with everything that's gone on with COVID, churches were shut down for a while mm-hmm. completely. Maybe someone's church hasn't even come back. Maybe it's just gone now, which has with many churches.
Yeah.
And maybe they feel like they aren't sure what their first step is going to be.
Yeah.
So there's somebody that they don't know how to take that first step. Maybe maybe they're even nervous about it. Is there something specific that you could think of that might help them with that?
Well, if I'm thinking about that specific example about churches that didn't make it, you know, there's been churches that didn't make it for varying reasons during this COVID time, you know, whether it literally was because of attendance going down and people not maybe not necessarily feeding into or not being able to feed into the ministry due to loss of work or whatever. And some people literally had to close their doors, or it was because of some controversy or conflict that arose from some of the political sides of things that took place in the last couple of years. You know, there's varying reasons, but I would say that step number one is that talk with God to be okay with asking him why, you know, like, cause everybody wants to be like, why, Lord? Yeah, go ahead and do that, because he sees what we're dealing with anyway. And he'd rather us kind of just spill the beans with him, spill it on him. Because once you get to yourself to that place, just like when we first met him, remember, like we were at our ends and we were like, I know that it can't be anything else out there. What else is there? And we get this introduction to Jesus. It's the same thing when we have these battles with our faith sometimes, or we get knocked around a little bit. We kind of get to the point where we're again at his knee, at his feet, and throwing our hands in the air and saying, I don't have the answers. I don't know what I'm going to do. But it's in those places of that weakness, per se, you know, it's in that place of surrender that God speaks to our heart. And we do get that nugget of hope and that light. It's like he just does a thing, you know, and I think that that's our step toward him. In that regard, opens the door for him to say, okay, do this, now do that, go there, call that person, you know, or you're flipping through your Google or Instagram and you come across this place that you didn't know existed and you go check them out, you know, or you're checking out this online church experience and it blesses you that day, you know, until you figure out what your next steps are. But I think that's it. It's the point of surrendering and being okay with giving God the disappointments, because he's the best one to handle them.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to, if you don't mind me expanding on that or maybe taking the next step with that, because sure. I've actually had some people lately that have been talking to me, and I won't say that they're new Christians or that their church went away, but they kind of feel like they're just going through the motions. They don't feel God in their lives. Like,
yeah,
let's say,
yeah.
Can you think of anything to speak up on that?
Oh, for sure. I think that what we all have experienced, whether it's inside the church or outside the church, but we're talking about the church right now, what we felt and what we actually walked through was a complete shift of what church even means to us.
Yeah.
What is church? And I think that what was really more our community base and what we were doing socially was taking up more of our mix when you talk about what church is. That had the majority of what we viewed church to be. So when those things got rocked, we don't know where to place it now, because doing community together, it's so different, right? For most of us, whether you're in a mobile spot like what we are, or you've got your own building and you've been to, it doesn't matter. Gathering together looks different today than it did 2 years ago. And so if you're not getting, most of us have had to deal with some, there's been a lot of mental health, you know, things that have, they've always been there, but I think that there's more, like it's just heavier now. And so the things that I believe used to be able to kind of squirrel us a little bit, it's like squirrel, you know, from the everyday, from the mundane, from the work life, from the thing, it's going to take something else, because it really wasn't the heart and meat of what we're at. And now we're left at, okay, I got to find that foundation. What truly should be fueling that for me? Because evidently this other stuff is easy to go away, you know, easier than we thought. You know, we kind of get into this routine and we feel like things that we're doing every day will always be there. And what we all learned together was that, no, they won't.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And so now going back, even if we're going, for people who have gone back to a semblance of that, it doesn't feel the same anymore, because we've all dealt with such life-changing things, life impacting. We've all got a real good taste of realness. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean by that? Like, we've walked into a wall of reality that we didn't deal with on a day-to-day basis. And now that wall is the real thing. We can't not see it anymore. It's there, you know? So that's making us have to refocus and all that. But I think it's numbing in for some people, because they're just not ready to really deal with the fact that that much has changed. Yeah. But not always change. That kind of change is dynamic, but it doesn't mean it's always bad. And I think it's like the pause of saying, okay, God, you saw this before we ever entered into it. You knew this space, you knew this situation, you knew the world would encounter what it's encountering. And you placed me here for such a time as this. What would you have me do? Where would you have me be? You would have me to do something. Like, I know you would. So what is that, Lord? And just sit in that and listen to what that might be. And that could be in this season to sit and heal. To sit and heal.
Yeah.
And it could be that you reevaluate what it means to serve God, because what it means to serve God needs to line up with what we learn about what serving is biblically, and how that transfers to where we are today, this city, this region, this town, XYZ. You know what I mean? But I think that some of the things that most of us had learned what was serving, we had made that an all-inclusive idea. So then when that got shifted or taken away, it just threw us for a loop, right?
Yeah.
And so now it's time to breathe and go back to, we did a series, not as Pacific Coast Church, but together as most of us that are still part of a family together. It was on not what would Jesus do, what did Jesus do?
Okay.
Because when you go back to what he did do, mm-hmm. that gives you all that you need to figure out what you're going to do or what you should be striving to do. Because he said that we would not only do what he did, but we would do what he, greater things than those.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's true. He did. Yeah. You know, one thing that I like that you talked about was change, because in the past 2 years, we have had so many changes that we didn't want to have. Mm-hmm. And so many changes were forced upon us.
Yeah.
And for some reason, my dogs are just wanting to fight today. I don't know if everybody can hear that. My apologies if you can. But personally, I think that renewing your faith or refreshing your faith is a change that we might want to have a lot more than some of the changes that we, you know, haven't been wanting to have lately. And Angie, I know that you went through a great change not too mm-hmm. long ago, because one of the aspects you talked about was all the politics that mm-hmm. that have come up. And you actually used to go to a church that had a huge political divide itself.
Yeah.
And that's how Pacific Coast Church started.
Yeah.
How did that change make you feel? And how did you work through that?
You know, honestly, when it happened, it wasn't how it happened is what really caught me personally by surprise, like in a drastic way this year. We had been working what we thought we were doing was working through some of the challenges or some of the differences, because we're not expecting any time to gather together and everybody be clones and everybody thinks exactly the same and everybody believes exactly the same about everything in the world. That's just not real. And it's just not even wise. If you think about it, you should be a bit more eclectic in your body, because truth be told, that's what the world is. Like, you know, if everybody's thinking exactly the same, doing exactly the same, sees everything exactly the same, it's kind of, you kind of have to, that gets a little bit more culty, not, you know,
boring.
Yeah. And in the Bible, just there's too many examples of the churches that's just not the case. You know what I'm saying? It's usually people come together, whatever. So I think for me, the biggest part that caught me off guard was how much of a disconnect there was on what I felt were, it's not even about my feelings, it's just truth, on what was basic fundamental Christianity. Mm-hmm. In our applications of what we believed politically. I'll put it that way. Because it was not my idea to have to change everyone's thought about who they're going to vote for or whatever. You know, we're not going there. But I felt that the baseline that we all should have been on one accord with was not being something that was set, or the tone wasn't set by my nor their political choices. Right? That's set by the word of God. That's right. Set by, like I said before, what did Jesus do? Mm-hmm. Okay. And so as leaders, we needed to be able to follow that, even if it went against something that we felt differently about in the political realm or in our communities or in, you know, whatever, nationalities, mm-hmm. all the things. So I had been a part of that body for 19, 20 years.
Yeah.
My kids, you know, I felt this was the words I used. I trusted them to my family. Like I trusted them with my children. Cause when you're doing life like that so closely with others, they have a big influence on who your kids can help be shaped in, you know, all the things. Mm-hmm. And the biggest word I walked away from that feeling was betrayed and sad, you know? So my initial instincts were crawling up in a bed in the fetal position, if I'm super honest with you, for I don't know how many days, but at the same time, the pastor in me, my first thoughts were for the people who, were almost instantly church homeless.
Yeah.
Based on how that happened. And so because they were not going, they wanted answers and they weren't getting them. So they're, you know what I mean? So it just was an ugly thing. And so my thought was, okay, for those, the body, for those who just met Jesus, who had just started coming, they knew nothing about what was happening. So I fielded a lot of phone calls. Why is this happening? What's going on? You know, broke my heart, honestly, if I'm not lying. And I spent a lot of time praying, asking the Lord to please get them all, like, because this, they're his people, they're his children. And I said, God, they're yours. Please catch them. Please don't let them be gone and let this be their only example they have, or the final example they have of what it looks like for your people to walk together in community. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was a doozy. And the first thought was not, let's start another church, you know. we honestly, as a leadership team, and I'll only speak for the senior pastors and myself, we knew we were torn, like we were beat down. Okay. But we knew that the Lord cared for those mm-hmm. who were there. And so we prayed that through, and we were like, Lord, if this is what you want, we're here, but you're going to have to strengthen us. You're going to have to be the one that provides. It can't be. So 8 months in, we're 8 months old right now.
Yeah.
Every day we're still asking him to be the one to choose and the one to provide. And although we are, you know, we know how to do certain things. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just kind of like thing. But what we're trying to do is, even as we make those steps, we're not being presumptuous. Mm-hmm. We're saying, Lord, what would you have us do in this moment? What would you have us do moving forward? And we're not trying to cookie cut anything, even though we're doing some things that we've done before. It's not our desire to go in and say, we're going to be like this. You know, we're opening the doors and saying, Lord, whatever you would have us, and getting it back to the basics of, like what we were talking about a minute ago, like, how do you renew your faith? You get back to the foundations. And that's what we're doing.
That's awesome. If for those listening, there's a reason why I wanted to ask Angie that, because with everything that's gone on, there are so many churches that have been upheaved in one way or another.
It's true.
And sometimes we will think that what happens in a church is what God wanted.
Mm.
And it's not always what God wants.
Exactly.
Just because there's a church doesn't mean they're doing God's will.
Yeah.
I've been to a church myself that was like that. And sometimes you've got to recognize that what's happening in the church is not biblically accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't blame God for what's going on in that right. church. When I was younger, I actually did that, which is why I walked away from the church when I was a kid.
Sure.
And I had to learn that there's a big difference between God and church. Churches can do God's will greatly.
Yeah.
And sometimes they can fall away from God greatly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think part of our calling as Christians is to recognize that. And when we see it, to take that very difficult step and go to our pastors and talk to them about
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
But if they refuse to see it, or if they refuse to repent, then it's also yeah. our job to leave.
Yeah.
Find somewhere else.
Yeah.
Sometimes it isn't a big issue. I just started going to Pacific Coast Church myself recently, because the last church I went to, they had a very specific political view
mm-hmm.
that they would talk about during their Sunday messages.
Yeah.
And my personal belief is, I don't think politics have anything to do with a Sunday message.
You are correct.
The pastor can have whatever political view he wants Monday mm-hmm. through Saturday. That's just fine. But on Sunday, it's got to be yeah. God's view, not political
yeah.
views.
Yeah.
And so that's why I asked you about that, to help other people see that what can happen in a church doesn't mean that we walk away from God. We can walk away from a church without walking away from God. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. And if I could add one thing to that too, because I think this is super helpful. It helped me growing up to hear this, this one little thing, and it's helped me to be able to apply it regardless of the situations we go through. So my mom told me once, when I was questioning some things that were happening in the church when I was a younger person, mm-hmm. and she said to me, and it's just served me well all my life. She said, Angie, It doesn't matter who the person is, whether they're a preacher, you know, what, whoever they are, pastor, whatever. If they are sharing with you something, or if they've shared something and it is not firmly planted in the word, it is literally their opinion.
Yeah.
It is their opinion. And they are a man. Every one of us, we are human. It's not if we will fail, it's when we will fail. Yeah. So I think the healthiest church, in my opinion, is a church who keeps in front of everyone, leaders on down, that it's not if there's an issue, it's when there's an issue, this is what we will do. When there's an issue, this is how we will walk this out. And then have the accountability and the integrity to actually do what we've said we will do when that applies to ourselves. You see what I mean? Because we can all look at everyone else and make, you know, we can say a lot, but when it's time for us, we've got to be willing to walk out those things as well.
Yeah. Awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
Hey, Angie, how can people get a hold of you?
Man, you know what? I would love to hear from you. I have a coaching my website that actually Ty's going to do for me. See, I dropped that on them. So we won't put you toward that though, but if you would like to get in touch with me, email me at the church, you know, call. So that's ahall@pacificcoast.church. I love what I do as an executive pastor, and, yeah, it's a passion for me. So I'm a passion full girl. So in my coaching and in that, and so for now, let's go there. And then hopefully I'll have more to share with you guys soon.
Awesome. And what I'll do is if things change or as things change, I will update the links on the website as well. Remember, we are in episode 27. So if you go to simplechristians.net/27, I'll have links to the church and to Angie's email. And of course, that may change, but so keep an eye on that. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this episode of Simple Christians. This is Dr. Ty, and I'll talk to you next time.